This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Ben Standing will join us at 12. We'll talk draft position for Washington. By the way, I haven't mentioned this, but I'm assuming most of you know. They'll finish the season Sunday in Philadelphia. That game is a Sunday 4:25 p.m. game on CBS. Philadelphia currently an 8.5-point favorite. What do the Eagles have to play for? Well, they can actually still capture the 2 seed with a win over Washington and a Chicago loss at home against the Lions. Who knows how the Lions will play that one? But that, remember, that 2 seed, even though they play opening weekend, they have an opportunity to play 2 home games before championship Sunday. Whereas if you're the 3 seed, you win at home, and the 2 seed wins, you're going to the 2 seed to play in that game. So that, you know, Chicago and Philly likely to be the 2 and 3 seeds. Not likely, they will in some order, because the San Francisco-Seattle winner will be the 1 and the NFC South winner will be the 4. So if both of those teams end up winning first-round games, Sunday's action will determine where that divisional round game would be played if they end up playing each other on divisional round weekend. Remember, they played, which is why Chicago owns the tiebreaker on Black Friday, and Chicago rushed for 281 yards in their 24-15 win over the Eagles. On Friday, Jay Gruden joined me on my podcast, as he does every Friday during football season, right through the Super Bowl. And we were talking, and I wanted to play some of this back for you, because he did get into, after talking about the game on Christmas Day against the Cowboys, he did get into sort of the defensive coordinator conversation around here, talked about some of his experiences. Remember, everybody was always asking Jay to fire whoever he had and hire somebody knew. But the conversation began with this long season, even though it's a sprint of a season. You know, I said to he said to me, he said, it's amazing that we're here already at week 17. And I asked him about some of those long seasons, non-playoff seasons, and what it felt like. Did it feel like it had gone on too long by the time you got to week 17?
Yeah, that helps to have a good team. It goes a lot faster than when your team is struggling, right, counting the Wednesdays down. Okay, I got 16 Wednesdays left. Oh, my God. I got to get through this.
But it
was fun, you know, working with the players and the coaches and all that stuff. And despite your record sometimes, you're still trying to develop players. You're still trying to come up with a game plan and trying to win games and beat the opposing coaching staff. And the competitive juices are still there. The winning's not, but still, it's still fun to get in there. But the days can get longer, especially when it gets colder. It's dark when you go in, and it's dark when you leave the office. It's like, oh, my God, you feel like a vampire. But, yeah, some seasons are tougher than others, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's easier for us. You know, on the field yesterday, there were just players and numbers. Now, it's been this way for Washington pretty much all season long, where you've needed, you know, a legitimate program each week to identify who's out there and who isn't. But do you remember a late season meaningless game where you discovered somebody, where you're like, oh, my God, I had no idea that he could play this well?
I do not remember that. We had a couple of young guys that I thought would be a lot better than they were that played well late in the season. But nobody that really emerged as a star. That's tough. You know, but we went through so many players my last couple of years there. I was with my son last night. We were going over the roster. We played the Seahawks that game in Seattle. And he goes, I'll bet you can't tell me who the left tackle was. I couldn't think of who it was. It was TJ Cummings.
TJ Cummings. Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have got that in a million years.
Right.
And my right guard was Tyler Catalina.
Yep.
My left tackle was, the kid we picked up, he got hurt too. I can't remember his name either. So, we went through so many players. But any young player that came up that really developed towards the end of the year, I really don't recall. We had guys like Rob Kelly that played well in training camp that we never would have thought in a million years would have been a starter. He was like seventh guy in the depth chart. He ended up starting and having 100 yards rushing in the first half against the Rams, for God's sake. So guys like that emerge from nowhere somehow, just the reps that they get in preseason and in the games. Sometimes guys just turn it on when the lights cut on. Some guys go the other way, and it's important for Washington to identify those players this late in the year because you never really know what happens once they get on the field in a competitive situation.
Did your son mention Ari Quanjo? Because he started
Ari Quanjo,
for you.
We got him from the Raven practice. Well, he was on our team. We let him go, but he was on the Raven practice squad, I believe, that week, and we picked him up, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, and he started Sunday.
Here was the starting offensive line. TJ Clemmings at left tackle, Ari Quanjo at left guard, Chase Ruye at center, Tyler Catalina at right guard, and Morgan Moses at right tackle. But do you remember who your starting wide receivers were?
That was Brian Quick, Josh Doxson, and who's the other one?
Your favorite.
Ryan Grant.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
You had some beauties out there on defense, too.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, you had some beauties on defense, including Evander Hood, who played for you. I don't know.
Ziggy.
Right. Ziggy Hood. Okay. Yes, of course. Now I remember Ziggy. Yeah. It's written down in Pro Football References, Evander Hood. I forgot it was Ziggy Hood. That still, to me, was one of the most improbable wins of the last 20 years. That in the Dallas game on Monday night with Colt McCoy. But this one was so improbable because of the players that you trotted out onto the field. I mean, that offensive line was decimated.
It was brutal. We're teaching the snap count on Friday. You know, it's 2-minute drill. How the mechanics of the silent count. You know, these guys have never done it together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a nightmare.
So what did you make of Washington's 30-23 loss to Dallas yesterday?
You know, they played hard. You know, I think, Josh played pretty well. Just the time of possession early in the game, you know, they took any rhythm out of Washington's offense. Dallas held the ball forever, I think. you know, that Washington had one drive in the first quarter, and that was it. And it was 21-7, so they were playing catch up the whole way.
But, yeah, 21-3. You know, yeah,
21-3. So they played hard. You know, I was impressed the way they played. I would have liked to see Coach Quinn, you know, do an onside quick kick there at the end instead of kicking off. The same situation was Chicago versus Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Johnson kicked the field goal, then they did the onside kick and got it and went down and scored and won the game, went to overtime. But because I figured they wouldn't get off the field. But anyway, other than that, I was impressed the way they played. They played hard. And, you know, Josh Johnson, I was impressed with. Terry still played hard. Debo played hard. He ran hard. They played with a sense of purpose and competitiveness and a competitive spirit. They just weren't quite good enough.
Do you know how many snaps Dallas had in the game, even, you know, counting every snap, penalties, et cetera?
It felt like 90.
92.
Golly, that's a lot.
92. Washington had 44. Dallas snapped the ball 45 more times on offense.
It felt like that. It felt like Dallas won by 30, but they won by 7. Or 10, whatever it was.
It's amazing. When you have 45 fewer offensive snaps and lose by 7, that's really something else. Actually, it's almost miraculous. I started off the show by just saying, look, there were some defensive plays made in this game, but the story of the season after injuries is just how god-awful this defense is. I mean, it's been terrible all year. It was terrible last year. You were a head coach here with some really good offensive teams, offensive talent, and could never get off the field when it mattered. This team, here's another one for you. Dallas was 6-for-6 on fourth downs and 8-for-20, Jay. They had 20 third down attempts in the game. 20.
Jesus Christ, that's insanity. That's insane.
I mean, how do they fix this between now and week one next year?
Well, they got a lot of work to do, that's for sure. I don't know where to begin, really. I think secondary-wise, they need safety help. They need another corner. They definitely need linebacker help. They got to be able to run. And then we haven't even started on the defensive line, which is really lacking in a lot of areas as far as getting after the quarterback. You know, you got to get to the quarterback somehow, some way with a four-man rush right now. They're way below average in doing that. They had some good rushes yesterday. You know, Newton had a couple sacks, which is good to see. They've had some good efforts by some other guys, but for the most part, they need some game wreckers, and they don't really have any. So I don't know where I'd begin. I'd probably begin with a pass rusher if I could find one. Obviously, Von Miller won't be here next year, I wouldn't think. They need an edge player. You got to probably look at replacing Bobby at some point. So you need a guy that can call the damn defenses and run the show, you know. So they got a lot of work to do on defense. And we haven't even started with the game, you know, a game changer on offense, too. There may be another back, although Merritt looked pretty good. Bill Merritt looked pretty good yesterday. I don't know if he's the answer full-time, but I would definitely start on the defensive side of the ball if I'm looking at the 8th pick in the draft and moving forward.
I mean, you haven't even mentioned defensive coordinator because it's not going to be Joe Witt Jr. So, like, I mean, you've gone through this. You know, you had Hazlitt, you had Joe Barry, you had Minuski. There was always cries for you to swap out defensive coordinators because the defense was so bad and you were an offensive head coach. What do they have to do on that front? Does Quinn have to find somebody outside of his tree of guys, you know, not Raheem Morris, not you know, Jeff Ulbrich, not Al Harris? Does he have to think about a Jim Schwartz if he becomes available, or go, you know, over pay big for Brian Flores to leave Minnesota? What do they have to do from a defensive coordinator standpoint?
I think this is what Dan Quinn has to decide. Do I want to really have, you know, put all my time into being a defensive coordinator and calling defenses and coming up with the game plan again? Or do I want to pass it along to somebody else? If I pass it along to somebody else, then I think I have to go outside the building. Obviously, I can't put Joe Witt back in there, so we got to go outside the building. Who is that? He's been around the NFL for a long time and called defenses for a long time, so I'm sure he has a great Rolodex of names that could be very successful in calling defenses here in Washington. So I think that's something he's going to have to decide. Who's available, who I can get, who would really take this defense to where I want to go with the same type of idea, the same type of mentality that I have if I were calling plays. So I'm sure he's got some guys in mind. It's just a matter of does he want to do it himself, or does he want somebody else to do it? Who that might be is, I'm sure there'll be a lot of good guys out there. Every year there's going to be 7 or 8 staffs that get axed, and there's going to be 6 or 7 pretty good defensive coordinators out there available.
Do you ever look back, I'm sure we've talked about this before, to that stretch here where, you know, you had bad defensive teams for the most part, and there were always cries, right, for a change in defensive coordinator. Do you have any regrets about, you know, something you did do or something you didn't do?
Yeah, I tried. I interviewed some pretty good defensive coordinators.
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles. I had Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio chose not to come. Mike Vrabel. They wouldn't let him out of the contract at Houston. You know, he wasn't a coordinator. He was like a senior assistant or something like that. So I thought I could take him out of New England or Houston when he was at Houston. Tried some other guys. You know, I tried Gunther. They wouldn't let him out. I wanted a double-A Zimmer-type defense when I was at Cincinnati. I liked what Zimmer did. So right. Gunther was the next one. He couldn't. Cincinnati wouldn't let him out. So I tried a lot of guys. You know, I settled, didn't settle, but you know, Joe Barry was a decent football coach, obviously, and Minuski had the knowledge. He was a defense coordinator at Indianapolis, and with Minuski, I got Jim Tomsula to be the defensive line coach. That was a package deal. Tomsula would only come if Minuski was defensive coordinator. And you know, these guys were all good coaches. We just didn't really have the firepower to really help them be successful in the schemes that they wanted to run.
Tomsula was a good coach, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a good football coach for sure. You know, the only thing is they come from the old school 3-4-2 gap system. I wanted to be more of a gap shooting under 3-4 defense. You know, with Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, I didn't want them sitting at the line of scrimmage, you know, holding up the defensive linemen and freeing up the linebackers. I wanted them to penetrate and be more gap guys and get up the field and create havoc with stunts and all that stuff. But we're more of the old school 2-gap, hole in there and free up the linebackers. But you know, it's different strokes for different folks.
I'm guessing you weren't surprised that Josh Johnson looked more than competent in the game.
No, Josh is a pro. He's a true pro. He's a smart human being. He can pick up systems in a minute. He's been everywhere. He's seen every type of concept versus every coverage. You know, he's been a backup. As a backup, he's very involved in games and studying the film and studying games. And, you know, his accuracy is not what you want it to be, but he's very athletic and a great, great guy, and definitely functional as a backup still to this day.
We would, you know, joke a little bit during the course of the season about the fan rush to crown Kroski Merritt or fit Kroski Merritt for a gold jacket, you know, 3 games into his career. But now that we've seen him, and Rodriguez was inactive yesterday, I guess he was sick. You know, he's had some games like, you know, I went back, like yesterday's game was, with the exception of the 72-yard touchdown run, which was the bulk of his yardage, still had some good runs. He had really not broken a long one all season long, but the game was comparable to the Charger game where he was 14 for 111 and this one 11 for 105. So what do you think they have in Kroski Merritt, Bill?
It's hard, you know, I don't know, because after that Charger game, I thought he was going to emerge as a true number one guy there. He's going to, like, just get 15, 20, 25 carries a game, and that didn't happen. He kind of, like, went the other way. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looked good yesterday, and he's had some moments of looking like he's got a really good burst and can run through tackles, but there's something there that I just feel like he's missing. I don't know if it's pass protection, catching the ball out of the backfield, consistency in reading holes and I don't know. The jury's still out for me on him. I don't know if he's a true number one back for next year, but he has shown flashes of being that. I think hopefully for Washington's sake, they do feel like him and Rodriguez can carry the load. They don't have to worry about a draft pick early in the rounds or sign a big-time free agent at running back. So they can use that for other positions that they desperately need. That's what they have to decide. Are we good enough at back with the guys we have, or do we have to, if the Notre Dame back is there at 8 or 7, do we take the Notre Dame back? I mean, hell. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Those are decisions they have to make as well. Are they good enough where we can use those picks and that capital for other positions, which we desperately need? Or do we need to get a game-changing back to help Jaden out? So those are tough decisions. I would, if there's a superstar available in the draft, I would have to seriously think about it, because that is a very important spot as well.
Jay Gruden from late in the week last week on the day following the loss to the Cowboys on Christmas Day, talking about various defensive scenarios. Interesting. He wanted to hire Vic Fangio. He wanted to hire Todd Bowles at one point. There's a whole story around the Todd Bowles availability the year that Jay wanted Todd Bowles. There was a lot of discussion among many people in the know that, you know, there was a real, resistance to come join this organization for Todd Bowles. He had so many options, and even though this was a team he had played for and won a Super Bowl with, there were apparently a lot of people, including people in the organization, that said, you don't want to come here. Not as long as he, Dan Snyder, owns the team. And so he chose to go elsewhere. That was a real struggle, though, for those years. You know, Minuski and Hazlitt and Joe Barry, the defensive coordinators probably weren't the issues as much as defensive talent was. They were old and they were slow defensively during those 2015-2016 seasons, in which they were very good offensively. And there are some parallels, because the defense you have right now, I think, is the worst I've ever seen in my lifetime of watching this franchise. But it's, you know, it's a talent issue, it's a coaching issue, it's an everything issue. And when you don't do anything well, it's really hard from our seat to identify the biggest culprit, because there are probably several on that list. But they will be in the market for a defensive coordinator. We'll talk to Ben about that. We'll talk to Ben about their draft position. We've got more when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Welcome back. Joining us right now, Commanders edge rusher Von Miller.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hello, you can listen to Von's podcast Free Range on the Odyssey app or download it wherever you get your podcast. Von's brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Schedule your no-pressure free estimate today at paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. What's going on, Vaughn?
Howdy, how's it going?
Howdy.
Is it windy out your way last night?
Hell yeah, it was.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty windy. The wind's crazy right now.
I know. You live in Leesburg. I live in Ashburn, so I'm like, 10 minutes from you. And I was telling JP, I said, man, I had so many Christmas decorations that were in my front yard because they just blew off my front porch. And it took me like 15 minutes this morning to clean it all up. It was a pain in my ass.
Yeah, it's pretty windy.
Hey, do you know who Kendrick Bourne is? You know Kendrick Bourne, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So there was a story that Kendrick Bourne, he hit an incentive because he went over 500 receiving yards this year.
Got a half million for it.
He got a half million. And he bought his wife a Rolls Royce. All right. I'm guessing Rolls Royces are minimum $300,000 or $400,000. I guess the real nice ones are $1 million. I think that's stupid, by the way. I mean, I don't care what your wife wants. Don't buy her a $500,000 car. But we were talking about you, and I know you've got nice cars. And I told JP, I said, he's got a really nice, real SUV, but I don't think he's ever purchased something like a Rolls Royce. And he said, I'm not sure. What's the most expensive car you've ever purchased?
I'm not really a car guy.
Okay.
But I did have a Lamborghini Aventador back in 2019.
What does that cost?
I think it was 600 back then.
All right, you were right, JP.
He bought a $600,000 car.
You were
Here's
right.
Here's my question: when you have a car like a Lamborghini, all right, you're not supposed to drive it 150 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have a Lamborghini, you're going to want to take it to very high speeds. What did you do about that? Did you find like a place where you could race it around, or?
This is in 2019, but I did take it up. I did drive it pretty fast. I got it pretty fast. I took it up a little bit. I had it in Miami when I was in Miami in 2019. I ran it pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you about,
did you get nervous driving it really good? See, he doesn't want to say how fast.
Yeah. You don't have to say that.
When I was a teenager, I took my Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, which was like a 1980.
Yeah.
And I took it to 100 on Route 50. And I remember getting nervous about that.
You should have been nervous.
I was mostly nervous that I was going to get pulled over.
Why did you drive at 100?
I wanted to get it to 100 to see what it felt like.
So dumb.
Yes, it was dumb. I was 17.
Taking a Cutlass 100. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Vaughn, about the DK Metcalf situation. I know you saw it with the fan. Apparently, Jay Glazer did some research, and he talked to the security team for the Seattle Seahawks. And DK Metcalf, he knew exactly who this guy was. And this fan was making derogatory and I think racial remarks to him when he was a Seattle Seahawks. So he knew this fan. He knew him. And other fans around him corroborated the story. So what was your take on that and your take on a two-game suspension if this guy had been making racial remarks to DK Metcalf in the past? I'd want to punch him too.
Yeah, I mean, that's always tough, when they try your integrity like that. But I just feel like you empower the guys whenever you walk over there. Like, it'd be another thing if the fan jumped over the rail and walked,
right
onto the field and up to you. Mm-hmm. I think you empower him whenever it's the other way around. Whenever I reverse it and I acknowledge him, when I play in the game, you hear fans say all type of crazy stuff, but like 95% of the time, I just act like I don't even hear it, And it's like you it's powerless like that. But DK's a great player, and we all come from different backgrounds, and whenever you try your pride or your ego like that, or you test your integrity, it happens. And I'm not a fan of empowering the fans like that.
Well, when you were younger, did you ever? I mean, as a veteran, you've learned to stay away from it. When you were younger, were you ever involved with anything like that?
Nope, never in my 15 years.
Smart.
Yeah. All right, so Vaughn.
By the way, that hurt Pittsburgh because I don't know if you didn't watch the game, I'm sure, but Pittsburgh, they needed another downfield threat. And Aaron Rodgers, he couldn't throw in any of these other receivers. He needed DK Metcalf out there, and he's not going to have him there again against Baltimore on Sunday night for the division. So that suspension could cost them a playoff spot.
Yeah, two game suspension, that was tough, though. Like, one, you know, take the money, one game suspension. You know, I think, you know, NFL, it was only two games left in the season, too. I think, you know, the NFL was strategic and, you know, taking DK away in that manner there. But it definitely hurt him for sure.
Yeah.
Talking to Von Miller, who leads the Commanders with 8 sacks this season in his 16 games, 5 tackles for loss. How would you assess your season so far?
I mean, I think, you know, the most important thing at the very top of it is wins and losses. Mm-hmm. You know, the outcome of, you know, the games is definitely not what we wanted. Me individually, I think as a team as well, this is definitely not what we wanted. And we came from, you know, last year we went to the NFC Championship. You know, we won 11 games. You know, there was so much, you know, hype and enthusiasm coming into, you know, this season. So this is definitely not the season that we wanted as a whole. I think, me personally, I think, you know, 8 sacks is crazy. I always set pretty, you know, high expectations for myself. And, you know, 8 sacks at 36 years old is pretty cool. So,
yeah,
you know, in a season like this where you can't, like, you know, get the top priority, then you got to settle for the second priority. And I think, you know, sacks, you know, me in a season like this is pretty cool. I would want to have them both. I want to have, you know, 10 sacks and we win 12 games this season and go into the playoffs. But,
yeah,
you know, I learned a long time ago, if you want to make God laugh, start making plans. And, you know, I just take it however it comes.
What do you think is going to happen in the offseason, just regarding you personally?
Oh, well, I really don't know. I mean, it's not like I'm not 24 years old. I can't, like...
I know you don't want to retire, though.
Yeah, I can't make any demands on where I want to play or who I want to play for.
Right. So,
I just got to go with whatever the market is. I mean, I want to be back. I want to, you know, be back with the Commanders. I still, you know, believe in this team. I think just having one player back, like just these last couple of games with Terry, you know, just having Terry back, just that one player.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even Jaden or any of the other guys. Like,
right.
That's not any of the guys on defense. It's not, that's not D-Wise or any of the guys that we had injured. Just having Terry back on the field, like, it's a totally different game. So just imagine if we could get Terry, Jaden back, guys on defense back.
Yeah.
You know, bring some more guys in, you know, and, through free agency, you know, the draft, we're going to have a pretty high draft pick. So just think what type of team we'll be with all of that and the type of motivation that we have after, you know, a season like this. Like, this team is going to be ready to roll next year. And, you know, I want to be a part of it. But like I said, I can't make any demands, or I just got to go with the market, wherever the market takes me. That's where I'm going. I'm definitely playing next year, though.
Well, someone's going to want you because you put up 8 sacks and limited snap count.
So wherever the market takes me, that's where I'm going. I want to be back here. I want to be a Commander.
Okay.
So you've said on this show that you couldn't see yourself going to coaching down the road, but you could see yourself being a front office personnel guy, that you kind of fancy yourself a personnel guy.
Yeah.
So this is more kind of a fan question. So last year, the Commanders drafted Johnny Newton with the second round, and there was a lot of hype. You know, he had some injuries in college, but he was Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. But we hadn't seen him do much until this 3-sack game. So give me kind of your personnel scouting report on Johnny Newton, because now fans are excited again about Johnny.
You know, it's a lot of things that you really gonna see as a fan. Johnny's been making plays all year, and, you know, his effort to the ball, that's one thing that you can't coach. You know, he plays behind D-Pain. Mm-hmm. You know, he plays behind other guys. He's in the rotation. But having D-Pain didn't play this last game, and, you know, it was Johnny's game all game. Just go, Johnny. Just go, Johnny. Just go, Johnny. And I think that's, you know, the type of, you know, game that he can produce. And, but as far as, like, he's been making plays all season long. It might, they might not show up on the stat sheet, but he's been making effort plays all season long. I think the Chargers game was an incredible game for him. Sometimes we turn on the film and, you know, we watch games from, you know, like last year, you know, when he still has his dreads and stuff. And I think his number was different last year. And I'm like, who's that guy? This guy.
Right.
And that's Johnny. You know, he's been making plays this whole time, but the sack is definitely the most, the sack, tackle for loss, like force smoke, those type of plays are definitely the type of plays that grabs, you know, fans' attention. And he had a lot of them versus the Cowboys this week.
By the way, I just learned this on Wikipedia, and Vaughn, maybe you can ask him about this. He has four brothers, Johnny Newton.
Okay.
Right? Okay, his real name is Jerzon.
Okay.
Right? His brothers, Jerquan, and I might be missing one, but they all have the same type of name.
They all Jervon. Sound like, yeah, they all sound alike. Did you know that, Vaughn?
No, I didn't know that. I definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Jerzon, Jervon, Jerquan, Jerwan, and Jershawn. They all got Jer at the beginning.
They all got Jer.
I definitely poke fun at them whenever I see them.
Yeah, you got something to talk about today when you see them. Hey, what's your take on the 17 games? I know you've been asked this a bunch of times, I'm sure, but I've never asked you this. Your take on the 17-game schedule and the possibility that Roger Goodell and the NFL moves the regular season to 18 games?
I've been playing football my whole entire life, so, you know, I love playing football. I think, you know, it's ways to make that happen. You know, it's pros and cons with both. You know, I think you add another bye week in there.
Mm-hmm.
You give us two bye weeks. You get two bye weeks, 18-game season. I think, you know, that can be done. I think, you know, every nine games you get a bye week. That's not, I don't think that's that bad.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, you give us another bye week, then I can definitely play 18 games if you give us two bye weeks.
Yeah.
And then the way they space it out with the Thursday night games and, you know, all of, it's ways to make it happen. I love playing football. And, you know, you put the money in there too, and you stretch it out to 18 games. It's ways to make it happen for the players too and the owners. I think it's a fair discussion to be made on both ends. Now, if you give us 18 game season and you only got one bye week and you gotta go,
that's too hard. Yeah,
you gotta go a 16 game stretch. Like that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think, but if you can throw in two bye weeks, space in those Thursday night games and you know, a cool way to build some rest in there too. Those Thursday night, Monday night. Those Thursday night, Monday night stretches.
Yeah.
I think it's a way for it to happen for the players and the owners.
Had you ever played on Christmas before?
No, that was my first time playing on Christmas. I had played on Thanksgiving before.
Yeah, right.
But that was my first time playing on Christmas.
Were your kids with you the next day?
Yeah, they were with me. We had to stay in the hotel the night before the game, but yeah, they were in town.
Okay. Hey, just in terms of the NFC going forward, I think the playoffs are going to be wide open. I mean, AFC and NFC, I can't really pick a team where I say, all right, they're a surefire Super Bowl team. In the NFC, just in particular, is there a team that you think is pretty strong that you would consider a favorite to win out, or do you think it's pretty wide open?
Oh, you know, the playoffs are so crazy. It's just, you know, it's so wide open. You see the Rams lose yesterday, and they were like, you know, my favorite. And then you see the Seattle Seahawks, like, you know, continue to be strong and play well.
Yep.
But for my pick, I would have to go with the Seattle Seahawks. I would like to see the Seattle Seahawks versus the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. I think that'd be a cool one, in my opinion.
What do you think of Drake May?
I think Drake can play too. I think, you know, that division over there, I mean, they've already beaten the Buffalo Bills one time, and they had them in a second game. I think they were up 21-0 in that game too,
right.
And they allowed them to come back. So,
yeah,
you know, the playoffs are different. So I think, you know, Drake May and And the New England Patriots can do it as well. I think the Denver Broncos still got a strong team. I think that loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, just it wakes a team up like that. Like, you realize, like, hey, like, we won 10 games in a row or 9 games in a row, whatever it may be, but we can still be beaten. Like, we got to, you know, we got to play a certain way to get it done. I think, you know, those could be wake-up calls for teams like that. So, Buffalo Bills, Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, I think the Rams, Seattle Seahawks.
Sleeping on the Niners.
Niners, McCaffrey.
I think the 49ers.
McCaffrey's a beast.
I think the 49ers.
Yep.
I think the 49ers can do it, too. I think the 49ers are definitely hungry. They've been, you know, the 2 Super Bowls before and lost. So I think those type of losses can wake a team up as well. So, you know, I think those 3 teams on both sides are teams, in my opinion. You know, if I can't go with the Commanders, those are the teams that I got to pick.
Gotcha.
You guys have been eliminated, just so you know. You can't
yeah.
go with Commanders.
Yeah, you can't go with your boys.
All right, Von, of course, people can check out your podcast, Free Range, on the Odyssey app. Download it wherever you get your podcasts. And he's brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. Schedule your no-pressure free estimate today at paulhenrywindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice. Hey, 2 sacks, you get the 10. That would be sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be sweet, man. That would be sweet.
Well, get after Hurts if they're playing. I'm not sure if the Eagles are going to play their starters, but get after him. We're getting after McKee.
I appreciate you guys.
Hey, it was great talking to you this year, man. I'm not sure what our schedule is with you going forward, but it was really cool.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate you guys for having me, man. This was really cool.
All right, that's Von Miller.
Right,
up to 8
stay
sacks.
Healthy, buddy.
Leads the team in sacks, sadly.
Yep.
8 sacks, the leader. Second is 5.5, which I think is still a tie between Dorrance Armstrong, who hasn't played in months. In what, 2 months?
Right.
When's the last time Dorrance Armstrong?
It's been a while.
Second leading sack guy at 5.5. And I think maybe Jacob Martin has 5.5 sacks.
They need to increase that number next year.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little puck. Caps lost last night 5-3. Joe Beninati, voice of the Caps, joins us here on the Jungle.
Bow, bow, now, now. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Appreciate everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? snag an electric fireplace, and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Hanging with us on Monumental Sports Network or the YouTube page. We are very excited right now to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our boy, Mr. Sam Cosmi, a new proud papa of young son, Tate. What's up, man? How are you?
Hey. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
How's everything
how you
going
doing?
With the little one? Yeah.
Are you sleeping?
Yeah, no, not at all. I think the most I've gotten is 4 hours. But, you know, I think my body's getting kind of used to that, which is fine. That's to be expected.
So when was he born? How did everything go? How's mom?
Yeah, mom's doing great. He was born the day after Christmas that night at 1:46. He water broke. Around like 7:30, Christmas Day.
Oh wow!
And it was pretty quick. It was a quick turnaround, and he we didn't know what his timing was because we were supposed to get induced that Monday. He said, "Nah, I'm gonna make a early showing." Mm-hmm. So
love that.
Yeah.
So a Christmas Day baby, huh? That's awesome.
Day after.
Yeah.
So born on the 26th or the 25th?
The 26th.
Okay.
So the whole process kind of started the 25th that night, but yeah, he lasted till that almost 2 a.m.
Started making noise on Christmas Day.
Definitely.
Dude, so here is my question for you then. My youngest daughter is born January 8th, so we have to pack up Christmas at our house pretty quick so that we turn the page to her birthday. Now, you got some time before my man Tate's going to be really cognizant of this. But, you know, that's going to be a bit of a juggling act to have Christmas and then his birthday.
Yeah, you know, I haven't put any thought into that. But I figured that's for a later
you got time
to deal with. Yeah.
You got plenty of time. Yeah. Does your mother-in-law come up to help in this time, or is it just the four of you? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, so she was here for a little bit. She just recently left, but she'll be back in about a week and a half. I have my little sister here who nannies. She's a stud. So she's helping out for that week and a half that, you know, my mother-in-law can't be here. But, we're having help, especially this early couple weeks.
That's great.
Cool to have family members.
Yeah, need that.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
How's big sister handling little brother?
Unfazed, really. She's in her own little world still. You know, she interacts with him here and there, but it's still she's the queen of the house. So she's really unfazed. So it's nice.
All right, that's great, man. I'm really happy for you and your family. What a great kind of Christmas present to cap it all off. And most important, everybody's happy and healthy, and you probably won't get much sleep till Easter.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's in the calendar already, so we're working on it.
What this week for you, where you know you're not playing, I don't know where you are in the recovery from the concussion stuff. What does this week look like for you, especially when you have a new baby in the house?
Well, you know, like, I'm just helping the guys that have any questions about, you know, just because I just played them, any questions about the guys – personnel wise, but from a schematic standpoint, you know, coaches obviously deal with that. But for me, it's pretty much still trying to get through concussion protocol right now, feeling a lot better. And then, yeah, I mean, normally I take the first couple weeks to recover after the season. But I, you know, that kind of started, I kind of take that as I started up earlier so I can start training because I really want to get a head start for next season.
It makes sense. As you kind of look at this game in Philly, for young guys or even like veterans, the reality of veteran players, guys you're close with, Wiley, Allegretti, guys that are going to be on the field this week, you know, they're putting tape out there for what may or may not happen come free agency in March. Like, what is the approach for everybody in Ashburn going into this game?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because you see a lot of these games around the league, and I think the interesting one I saw most was like the Giants and the Raiders and like tanking and all this, that, and other. And like, I think you have to understand that, like, regardless of the situations, like, us players, our main objective is to win the football game, mm-hmm. you know, and put a good product on the field. If it's not for that team, it's for 31 other teams. So no one's going out there and gonna play bad intentionally, mm-hmm. You know, and we're essentially paid to entertain and win football games. And that's what that's our job. No one's gonna sit there and be like, I'm just gonna not play this game and play poorly. Like, that's not crossing our minds.
And especially at your position, I mean, you know, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, they gotta be ready to go, because if you don't, the guy across from you wants to go, you will see that the person's not playing.
Yeah. We gotta be locked in.
Yeah,
every play. There's no, you take, you know, your foot off the gas one play, you'll embarrass yourself. You know, and you, again, you don't want to do that. You can spiral out of control and do that. It's not a, you got to be locked in. You got to be focused and treat every game like it's another opportunity to showcase what you're all about. You know, so that's the mentality you have to have.
Well, dude, I think about last Sunday's game against the Cowboys, or I guess it wasn't Sunday, last Thursday, the Christmas Day game against the Cowboys, and I don't know what, if anything, the situation was for the Cowboys defensive back, but like, Deebo Samuel reminded that Cowboys DB, you better be playing hard through the whistle every play, when he blasted that thing and his helmet fell off. You know what? Like,
yeah,
that's why I think the notion and the conversation surrounding tanking and stuff is so silly when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, the perfect example right there, like, you gotta buckle your chin strap every play, you know? And if you don't, you're gonna get your helmet blown off. So, it's a high level game every single play, regardless of the situation, because that guy across from you is trying to, you know, we always say take money out of your pocket, but you're trying to take money out of his pocket, you know. Mm-hmm. So, that's how from that business aspect of things. So. You got to put your best foot forward each and every play, each and every snap.
Sam, I've always looked at it, and when I talk with Jay a lot, I let him know, I think football and hockey is hard as hell to go out there and do. Like, so in basketball, if you are a certain player, the coach just bench you. And if the best player is sitting down, you're probably not going to win the game. In baseball, mm-hmm. if you're the pitcher, you can throw some strange pitches or strike out. But football mm-hmm. and hockey, hell, you end up in the hospital if you go out there and be BSing around.
It's a physical sport, and you're correct all the way. I mean, if you don't put your best foot forward, you're going to get embarrassed, or worse, get yourself hurt or get someone else hurt.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a physical demanding sport. Talking with our friend Sam Cosmi on our weekly Paisanos Players Chat. You can give Sam a follow at Sam Cosmi on Instagram. That's where I learned of the birth of their new little baby boy. Sam, I'm curious, man. I mean, this season, unfortunately, you've had more time off than I think you ever would have expected. How much of the mm-hmm. rest of the league do you watch? Maybe not this past weekend with a new baby in the house, but just in general.
I mean, I keep up here and there with stuff, kind of see how teams are doing and you know, kind of. It's very interesting. It's been an interesting season in general for a lot of teams. A lot of teams have shown. I never thought the Bears would be what they are right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of funny because it's like I look at that game from last year when we beat them and we went on a streak, and then this and they yeah. went on a streak the opposite way. It kind of flip-flopped this year.
It's crazy.
Really, really crazy. But yeah, I keep up a little bit. Obviously, I like to see where everybody's at. But yeah, that's for the most part.
It is wild to think, because when you guys play the Bears, it's mid-October, it's Monday Night Football, you're coming back from L.A., 3-2, coming off the best win of the year against the Chargers. And with 2 minutes to play in that Bears game, it looked like you were about to be 4-2 headed to Dallas. And, you know, pro football could change in a hurry, and we saw it then. And then, you know, Jaden gets hurt against Dallas, and things just kind of spiraled from there. When did you come back? It was right around there, wasn't it?
It was Dallas.
That's what I thought. Wow, yeah. It's remarkable. And you mentioned the Bears. The Patriots have played at a really high level. Do you pay attention at all to, like, there's a big MVP debate going on? Who should win MVP between Drake May and Matt Stafford?
I mean, this is just, I'll look at it, that the Patriots have had the easiest
strength of schedule.
Strength of schedule. I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to take away anything from that. But I've also seen, like, statistically that Matthew Stafford, I think, has, like, more touchdowns. Same interceptions, but more touchdowns, a little bit more yards. I mean, that guy has been so incredibly consistent, though, and has not been shown, I think, the love that he should have been shown over his career.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't get me wrong. It would be, I think both quarterbacks are great quarterbacks, but I think Stafford has had a better season.
I tend to agree with you. We'll see how the voters end up shaking out. Talking with our friend Sam Cosmi here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Sam joining us for his weekly Paisanos Players Chat. Dude, I'm curious, as a proud Longhorn alum, you've got Michigan, Texas tomorrow in the, I think it's the Citrus Bowl. Now, normally you get Michigan and Texas on the field. That is two true college football blue bloods. But, like, in the era of the college football playoff and neither of these teams got in, you can make a case that Texas should have gotten in, but they didn't. Like, what is that – how juiced up are you for that bowl game? What does that bowl game do for Texas fans?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, you just kind of see what you get for next – it's the same thing, kind of see what you get for next season. I think with the NIL, this is me personally, I think with the NIL stuff now, it's kind of almost – pointless. just because, I mean, these guys are getting paid so much money now that, like, the only thing that matters is the championship game, which is, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, punch your ticket into the top 12. You know, if you don't, it's like, you know, again, you got to put tape on and do the whole thing where it's like physical sport type thing. But, like, you got to play for yourself in that instance. I just don't. I mean, these guys are making so much money that, like, a reclining chair is not the coolest thing in the world anymore.
Right. Like, oh, the bowl gift presents.
Yeah. When I was going through that, I couldn't wait to get to a bowl game.
Yes.
Because getting those gifts were so cool because we couldn't afford that type of stuff. You know, like, there was none of that. So for me, get into a bowl game, like a nice bowl game, meant better gifts, you know? That was a cool thing for me. But I just don't, I couldn't see. I mean, you guys got, you know, kids making millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, you know, they can buy a reclining chair. No problem.
Sam, in NCAA, so they are now allowing in basketball, they allow the dude who was in the pros,
an NBA player,
come back and play college, because they say he had some eligibility left. How would that be if somebody played football for 2, 3 years, 4 years? They got a year left and they go back and play football.
If a person were had to do that, which is crazy, first and foremost. But if that individual, I personally think, because the level I've seen guys that I'm like, man, I didn't think he was that good in college playing the NFL and make leaps over that 1 year. I mean, they would be so much more dominant going back to college.
Uh-huh.
It'd totally be night and day. It'd be night and day. I'm telling you, it would.
And it shouldn't be legal.
No.
Yeah, you know, you got 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds out there.
It's yeah, crazy. I mean, you can, yeah, you can put a case for, you know, Philip Rivers wanted to come back. If he had more eligibility, would he come back to the college? You know what I'm saying? So you think he would? I don't know. Well, probably.
Dude, I mean, that's crazy. Like, so I just looked this up. In if I have this right or not, let me know. It looks like your last 2 years at Texas, you guys played in back-to-back Alamo Bowl games. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
What was the best gift from the Alamo Bowl?
Oh, what did I get from
that? Was that your reclining chair?
I got a Yeti cooler. That's what I remember.
Those are legit.
Yeah, and they're not cheap.
No, they weren't cheap. I think my parents still have it in the garage. They use it all the time, especially in the summer. So I still have that thing. And I think one of the years I did get a reclining chair that's at my grandparents' house now.
That's awesome. Were you on the team that played Georgia in the Sugar Bowl?
Yes. Yeah.
I imagine the Sugar Bowl's got some good gifts.
That was, what did I get for that one? I think they didn't have anything where you picked. They gave you like AirPods, a watch, some AirPods, headphones, a watch, and something else. I forgot. They didn't let you pick your gift or like have, hey, you go on. Because what they used to do is like you go in a room. They had like, you have a point system, so you can put all your points in like a big gift or like smaller gifts and combine them. So for that game, I think they just like had already stuff picked out for us that was nice. I mean, I loved my AirPods and headphones, so I was good with that.
I think that Sugar Bowl was also when Sam Ellinger, after the win, got on the microphone and said, "We're back." I remember that.
And then we weren't back.
Funny how that shakes out.
Yeah.
Will you watch the college football playoff over these next couple days?
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll have it in the background. I'll keep up with it and see what goes on. I'm just happy Oklahoma and A&M are out of it.
I imagine.
So I told you guys that I think last week, the week before that, that's the only thing I wanted, and it came true, so I'm happy about that.
There you go. Will there be any chance...
Rivalries.
You stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve, or purposely stay up till midnight?
Purposely, no. Probably, yeah. I probably will, or I'll fall asleep at like 9:30 and still wake up at 12 to help or do something like that. But we'll see. We'll see what the little man has in store for us.
Well, congratulations, man. Really happy for you and your family, and try to get some rest when you can.
I will. Appreciate you guys.
Right, thanks for the time.
Take care, man.
Yeah, you too.
That is our friend Sam Cosme joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline for his weekly Paisanos Players Chat. Sam's been great about that all season. We really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Paisanos Player Chat is fed by our friends at Paisanos. Today and every Tuesday are Community Tuesdays from Paisanos. Nurses, teachers, active duty, military, and vets, and first responders all get 25% off your order with the promo code COMMUNITY. It's Paisanos' way of giving back to the individuals who give so much to others. Paisanos, it's not just pizza, but something for everyone. Order now at paisanospizza.com.
You heard that bill highlight. That means it's bill time. We do it every week. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. That's not one. One of two touchdowns for our pal, Bill. It's Grant Danny here on the Fan. Zabe in for GP. I'm Danny Ruye. Let's jump right now, this minute, to the guest hotline, the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, for our weekly spot with Bill. Bill, what's up, buddy? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. How you feeling?
What's going on? How you doing?
We're great, man. So walk us through that first touchdown you scored. The second one was really fun. But that first touchdown you scored, it felt like they were doing a really good job in the run game and in run defense. And that was just kind of a, I see the goal line and I'm going. We're going to go through a bunch of contact. Walk me through that play.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was tough, like, to start. You know, you're going to get a couple yards here and there. But, I mean, I seen a crease and I was like, okay, we need to make a play and we really got to score. So I was like, okay, I'm really trying to get in there. So, I mean, it was cool.
was a great one. And then we'll get to the highlight here in a second. But one other thing I noticed, Bill, in this one from you, I feel like you were asked to do a lot in pass pro. I saw you picking up a lot of blitzes, a lot of rushers. Just where is that in terms of how comfortable you are, kind of where you're at in your development there? It looked pretty darn good to me, but I'm just a pudgy idiot watching football at home.
Yeah, it's just trying to just be the best in everything I can be. And I felt comfortable just doing it. So I mean, that was something that I had on my list that I want to be better at during games. I mean, you know, you can run, but you know, you got to be great in all the other things. So it was good to go out there and like just execute without having the ball in my hand.
All right, I got some running back 101s for you. All right, Bill. The first one is the Jumbotron rear view mirror trick. Have you ever used it before? Because last night when Bijan was going for his home run, he was looking over his left shoulder, and after the game he told Van Pelt, he's like, well, it's because the Jumbotron here is inside this circle. Yeah. He's like, I didn't have the Jumbotron rear view. Have you used it? And is it hard or easy to get accustomed to?
I mean, I only think I used that in college maybe once.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think that's kind of like, it just got to catch your eye, and then you just end up looking up. But I only used that one once in college. And it really helped, though. Like, you get to see what kind of angle they got. And, I mean, it's just next level stuff. Like, only a few people can do that.
I mean, the bottom line is, when you're out in the clear, just run. Run.
That's the best practice.
I don't even try to look back. I try to just look at the end zone.
Okay, what happens when you forget? This is also a running back 101 question. You forget the snap count. You're like, damn it, forgot. Now I'm sitting back here behind the quarterback. Everyone's watching me. What do I do?
All right, so in that situation, you might have to be a little bit slow when everybody moves if you don't know it.
So you don't try to jog your memory. You don't try to remember it. You accept the fact, snap, it. I forgot. Yeah. We're going to be a little slow off the ball. I hope the film doesn't show it.
Yeah, you just got to be a little slow in that situation.
Usually, I'm just being patient. I'm a patient running back. That's how I operate. Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara with us here on G&D, a.k.a. Bill, the people's running back. All right, let's go to the 72-yarder. That was a thing of beauty. Walk me through the play call. Walk me through what you saw, and then when did you know this might be a house call?
It was an outside zone play to the right, and we ended up calling it. And, I mean, I got beautiful blocks by everybody that played. And like, once I seen daylight, I was like, okay, like, this finally my chance. I can get an open field. And I was like, I'm not getting tackled. And it was good just to be able to take it all the way to the house for 72 yards.
As you break through right there, because I think you have to break a tackle or two if memory serves, right? As you're going through, when does it go from this is a nice run to, oh my God, I'm going? Like, 70 yards is a long way. I'd be really tired, but you're a professional athlete. When does it go from, oh, this is fun, nice play, good for me, to
are we there yet?
To this is a highlight. Like, when do you know on a run like that?
Oh, I kind of knew once I got past the second level and I seen nobody in front of me, or I didn't have to try to make a safety miss. I was like, okay, like, you just, the end zone is far, but you can't get caught. So, like, that was the main thing going to my head. Like just run fast. Like, you are already there. You don't got to worry about making nobody miss. You just run.
I love that. Did you hear from fantasy football champions and fans who said that you won them something?
I guarantee.
Like, I guarantee you, sure. Your own rosters, man. Did you hear from folks?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's all people be talking about is fantasy football.
You were the talk of August. You know that, right? Everyone's like, oh, look, we got a sleeper here. This guy Bill in Washington. Looking like he's going to get a lot of carries. And, you know, it's tough to tell once the season begins how the carries are going to sort out. But for those that stuck with you, they were rewarded in the end.
Yeah, it was good to be able to reward the people who ended up drafting me and getting me in fantasy. So it felt good.
All right, so Sunday is a meaningless game, according to us couch dwellers, which is, I'm sure, laughable to you as an NFL player and as a athlete. Tell me how you prepare for a quote-unquote meaningless game, so to speak. And have you played in many of these games in which you're like, yeah, technically this is not for much?
I mean, nah, like it's an NFL game for me. I get a chance to go out there. I know people going to be watching, still getting evaluated. So I mean, I'm gonna treat it like any other week. Just wanna finish strong. That's the main thing. So I mean, I'm definitely ready for this game. And just, I mean, I get another chance to play.
Yeah. How strange is it? You played these guys 2 weeks ago. The NFL's doing this new thing with the schedules.
Yeah, that's definitely strange.
Yeah. What's that like? I mean, you just saw these guys.
I definitely didn't. I never seen that like it until this year. But I mean, it's just okay. You know, you played them a couple of days ago, and like, you know how they play, and you know what you did wrong. So I think it's just that taking that approach to the game and just going out there and trying to execute.
Do you feel like, and it's so hard to tell, obviously, the Eagles are really good. They're 11-5. That defense is awesome. Mm-hmm. The challenges that they brought, do you feel like, okay, we know what they're going to do? Or is this the kind of defense where you go, they could do something totally different simply just based on what they saw from us? Like, how do you prepare knowing that you just saw them a couple of weeks ago in terms of what they might do to you guys?
I mean, we just got to we know the players that they got, they can do different things. Like, all of them can make plays and we just got to go out there and execute and just try to play our best football. So.
How is their – well, you wouldn't know. You haven't played there yet. Their field is interesting. It's natural grass, but it's got some of the synthetic woven into it. It's kind of like Green Bay's. You've played in Green Bay. How do you go about figuring out what you're running on when you're playing somewhere for the first time? Like, how much can you test in warm-ups or take the advice of other guys to say, you know what, you need this size cleats or whatever?
Yeah, it's basically just like just seeing how you feel out there pregame.
So
like,
it's a feel thing.
Like you making full speed cuts and like seeing, do I need longer spikes or like can I just play with my regular shoes? So it's basically just you just seeing how you feel out there pregame.
How many sets of shoes do you have?
I try to bring at least three.
At least three?
Three is too many. But I got it. Well, it'll be like three of them in my locker.
Well, you say it's too many, but you got three. So what is it?
it's just like I might want to switch it up. Like,
right.
It depends on what we wear or like whichever cleat fit the best.
All right, so you're admitting it's too many, but you're a shoe diva, which is cool, which is fine. I'm with you on that. So you got three. So you got what? The turf nubs, quarter inch, and then what after that?
Now, all of them be the regular size. Okay. It just be for different looks.
Oh,
it's
really?
About looks.
Yeah, so but wait. you can go to a trainer and be like, I need bigger studs, and they'll just
Okay, all right. Yeah, so what are the heights on the cleats? Are they quarter inch, eighth inch, half inch? What do we got?
I think quarter inch.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I usually only play in one type of spikes.
All right.
All right, Bill. So this is the important question that everybody always asks us about each and every week. And this is kind of where, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road here for you. I know you guys dropped a close game, the Dallas one-score game, but you had over 100 yards and two touchdowns. What was Cousins' reaction to you when you guys got home?
He was happy. It was Christmas, so he kind of gave me a pass. He was just, you know.
Did he get Christmas presents? What did he get?
He got some treats. He got, what else did he get? He got a treat and he got a couple of toys.
There you go.
Love it.
Yeah.
Bill, you are the best, dude. Enjoy this last week. Happy New Year to you and everything. It's been a pleasure having you on all season long, man. Let's do it again next week after hopefully you guys beat the Eagles on Sunday.
Beat these savages. We
got you.
Yeah, they're actually playing for something. And
be nice to ruin that.
There is a great disdain for these green pukes in this area, as I'm sure you're learning, and as I'm sure you learned the first time you hooked up with these punks. So, I called them punks. By the way, yeah,
Bill did
not call. That's not me. Let that be noted. I'm just saying right there. All right, have a good game and stay healthy, my friend.
Talk to you next week, bud.
All right, guys. Happy New Year.
See you, Bill. Happy New Year too. There he goes. That is Ja'Cory Kroskimerick, the people's running back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks, and now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.